There. Now you're awake. Let's take a couple minutes for 1 John 1:9. I forgot to do that. Sorry about that. Just whatever sin is between you and God, go ahead and tell him you know it's wrong, and he takes care of the rest. Thank you, Lord, for paying for our sins on the cross. Thank you that we don't have to go to hell for our sins, and that you made us a way to be able to come to heaven and live with you, believing on your Son for eternal life. I pray that everyone in here will do that. If they haven't already, that they won't wait too late to do it. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Amen. Sorry about the buzz. Pastor's not here to fix it. I think I got it. That's what you get for being too relaxed there now, see? Okay, here we go. The Let's Go Praise God slideshow. Remember, this is from Richard and Tina Kleiss. Their awesome book, A Closer Look at the Evidence. Ecclesiastes 3, 1 and 2. There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. Raise your hand if you've ever heard of an animal that is in danger of becoming extinct. Have you heard of that recently in the past couple of years? Yeah. Okay. Raise your hand if you've ever heard of animals that have actually become extinct within your lifetime or your parents. Something like the dodo bird that's extinct now, something that's recently become extinct. Okay? Now raise your hand if you've ever heard of a brand new kind of animal that has just evolved. It was never this kind of animal before, and all of a sudden, within the last 5 years, there's this new kind of animal. Ever heard of that? Okay, me either. What about last 10 years? No? Or what about the last century? The last 100 years, you haven't heard of one new animal that never existed before? No. Huh. Isn't that funny? We can talk about it at the end. In the Hawaiian Islands, a third of all known bird species in the Hawaiian Islands have become extinct. Think about it. A third of all the known bird species have become extinct within just the last 1,500 years. Yet, not even one new species has evolved in Hawaiian Islands, let alone the rest of the world, but just the Hawaiian Islands. Evolution can't work. This is an example of why. The millions of different life forms on the planet today could not have come from evolution because species become extinct far faster than they could possibly evolve into new types. Just in our puny little lifetimes, we've seen that. 1,500 years and a third of them are extinct now? Think about the rest of the planet. There's no way evolution could work. But isn't extinction man's fault? You hear scientists say that all the time. The reason these animals are becoming extinct is man. Before that, they probably evolved into new species all the time and hardly anything ever became extinct. Well, on the contrary, the extinctions of the birds are from natural causes and have little to do with man's influence. On the contrary, there are many species surviving today only because of man's help. A lot of species, have you heard them put on the endangered species list? Like the alligators in Florida, they were so close to becoming extinct. And now they're more numerous than the deer and rats we have up here. Psalm 104:27. These all look to you to give them their food at the proper time. Okay, hunters, raise your hand if you hunt in here. Hunt animals, okay? I shouldn't raise my hand because I don't. Not that I'm against it. Would you call it a good day, hunters, if you shot 8 birds with the gun you usually use? If you shot 8 of them, would that be a pretty good day? What do you think? Have you ever shot 8 birds in one day? No. That'd be a pretty good number, right? No. Okay. Well, now, what if I only gave you this sticky piece of elastic and with some glue on the end of it, and I told you to throw it at the birds at night with only night vision goggles, and you did all that and you still caught 8 birds. Would that be a pretty good showing of your skill? Yeah. You'd be pretty skilled, right? Yeah. All right, and you're a human. Well, there's this little spider called the boa spider. God equipped this little spider to make a special silk thread with a sticky glob of glue on the end. On top of that, it has the ability to produce the scent of female moths. It waits for the male moth to approach, and then it throws the sticky little thread at the moth and catches the male moth at night. With no flashlight or anything, it just has the night vision that God gave him in its eyes. And on average, it catches 8 moths per night with just that sticky little string. The thread that God gave it the ability to make is so elastic, it can stretch up to 600% more than what it starts with. And the glue is sticky enough to hold the struggling male moth. Chemists have tried, and they cannot duplicate the sticky properties of the glue that God gave this little spider the ability to make. Just like good fishermen and women, raise your hand if you fish. Do you like to fish? Have you ever fished in here? Okay, well, just like good fishermen and fisherwoman, it allows the catch to tire before reeling it in all the way. You let it play a little bit and you reel it in. Let it play a little bit and reel it in. That's how the spider works. That way the spider's not using all its energy. The moth is the one using the energy. Well, do you think this kind of skill could come natural to every human? You think they could catch 8 birds with a sticky piece of string? You think? No, I don't think so. I know I couldn't. Well, it comes natural to every boa spider. Only God can do this. Could a series of accidents, mutations, and natural causes have produced these skills? There's no way. I don't think so. God gave this spider these skills for his honor and glory, and to help his little creature, his little creation, survive the fall. Because he loves the boa spider and loves us oh so much more. Again, there are new notes in the back. We'll get started with our next slideshow. Human babies. Do human embryos have real gill slits?
No.
Remember from last time? No. Good answer. Do they have a real yolk sac?
No.
No, they don't. Do they have a real tail?
No.
No, they don't. Okay, see that up there? That is a gold nugget. Would you throw that away just because it hasn't yet been pressed into a coin? If you had that, but I mean, it's not formed. Isn't it kind of useless if it's not formed?
No.
No, why? Because it's gold, right? Gold is gold whether it's formed or not, correct? I would be quite excited if I had that big blob behind me. Well, a person in the making. Is this just a blob of cells or is it a human?
It's a human.
It's a human. The one on the left as well as the one on the right. Just like the gold nugget we saw, that's a human nugget. And it's just as precious as the one on the right. Human is human, whether it's formed or not. That's just a human waiting for God to press it into the mold, just like the gold being pressed into a coin. So where are we? Chapter 6, the origin of the universe. The difference between scientific laws, theories, and models. In science, from last time, is a theory a hypothesis confirmed through repeated experiments, or in science, is it just a guess? A or B? A, that's what we learned last time, that's right. So, according to that, is evolution a scientific theory? Think about it. Has it been confirmed through repeated experiments?
No.
No. So we don't say evolution is just a theory. That's actually given in a compliment, which I didn't know until last time either. Page 2, your notes from last time. And I have your notes. If you can come and get them from last time. That way, can you hand them behind you? Thank you. Page 2, evolution cannot be tested. It is not a theory. Because evolution cannot be tested, it is not a theory. These blanks will be on the next couple slides, so don't get rushed. To be called scientific, we must be able to imagine some test that the theory would fail and be proven wrong. It can't be a theory unless you can think of some way that it could possibly be proven wrong. Like, okay, example, for years, all believed that everything evolved around the Earth. And it was a valid theory because they could think of ways to prove it wrong. If only they could find a way to get out in space and look back, then they would know, is everything revolving around the Earth, or is the Earth revolving around something else? So they could think of tests But they had no way to make those tests happen because they didn't have enough technology. The equipment to falsify the theory didn't exist yet. Well, when the telescope was finally invented, and Galileo was able to observe the phases of Venus, moons, and other planets, that's when he proved the theory wrong. His observations prove that everything does not evolve around the Earth. Gravity is another example. There are several theories attempting to explain why gravity exists. Science can't exactly explain why gravity works. They can be called theories, scientific theories, validly, because they are undergoing tests to prove them wrong or correct. To fail or not to fail? One failed test and the theory is disproven, or it must be modified. If you'd have no failed tests, does that mean it's a valid theory? No, it just means maybe we haven't done the right test yet to disprove the theory. So there are no absolutes in science without God. We can never be sure we have not overlooked something. Example, the Greeks' theory, they had this theory that everything was either made of earth, air, fire, water, or this quintessence, which is what they thought the stars and moons and planets and suns were made out of. They thought it was a whole different kind of matter. This never was a theory, because even in its day, the Greeks never made attempts to test it. When the real scientific theory of atoms came about, we didn't just modify the Greeks' ideas, we threw them out entirely. They weren't valid theories, they were just ideas. Now let's see, we've just looked at theories, now let's figure out what a scientific law is. What goes up, can you finish it?
Must come down.
Okay, for thousands of years, this was accepted as true by everyone because no one had ever seen an exception. Then one day, mankind sent something up that never came back down. Can you name what it was? A satellite, rockets, the space probes. Man figured out how to send something up that could have the possibility of never coming back down until they chose to send it back down. This theory was adjustable. Scientists modified it to take into account the velocity needed to send an object up so that it would never come back down to Earth. But what goes up must come down. That was a valid theory. And it's still a good one. They just modified it. They say what goes up must come down unless so much velocity is added. Laws do not, scientific laws, they do not make things happen. They just describe what happens. The law of gravity doesn't make things fall. It just describes how they fall in response to this mysterious force called gravity. So the law of gravity and gravity are two different things. Here's the formula for the law of gravity. This formula didn't appear out of nowhere. I could not have come up with that if you paid me $1 million. Newton came up with a hypothesis, and he tested it over and over and over. That's what science is all about. He carefully analyzed his data, and he noticed a consistent pattern. He published his work for others to critique and test. He never did figure out why gravity existed. He just trusted the God who made it. It took years for this to become a law, the law of gravity. It was confirmed over and over again until it became recognized as a scientific law. They stand firm. Scientific laws stand the test of time, and they enable us to accurately predict the future behavior of whatever they describe. Apples are always going to fall. They're not going to float off the tree. Which is good, because I already can't reach them. But they may not always. The laws may not always be accurate. We must admit that the scientific laws that we have today reflect our current state of knowledge. We may find this knowledge wrong one day. For example, in the millennium, what goes up may not come down. Jesus was able to float up into the sky. We're going to be like him. Maybe we'll be able to go up and not have to come back down. Won't that be amazing? So in that day, we won't say what goes up must come down. We'll have to change our law of gravity. Only God can provide absolutes. The only way we could be absolutely certain about a law would be if God revealed it to us. If he wrote in his Bible, what goes up must come down. That's the only way we could be certain. Atheists, on the other hand, they can never be certain. No absolutes. There are no absolutes. They say over and over again, and they're very serious about it. No absolutes. That's their absolute law. There's absolutely never any absolutes. That's a tongue twister. Makes a lot less sense than my God. My God makes a lot more sense. Neither evolution nor creation has ever been observed by humans. Angels, yes, have they observed creation, but not humans. No successful experiments have ever been devised to test either one of them. There's no way to prove either false, except I differ from David Prentice here a little bit, because I think we could come up with theories and watch them happen when God recreates the earth. How awesome is that going to be? So a theory? Well, if neither creation nor evolution is a scientific law, could either one be a scientific theory? If you can't test it, you can't falsify it. So neither one is testable, and it can't be a true theory. So we can't say the theory of evolution nor the theory of creation, unless you believe in the Bible and you think you can watch creation when God recreates the earth. Aren't most scientists evolutionists, you say? Yes, it's true. But when it comes to evolution, they abandon science and rely on philosophy. Absolutes are the sayings in life. We always know this is wrong. We always know this is right. It gives you a foundation to stand on, something that's concrete, something that doesn't change. But they're willing to jump off of that into the swimmy water of evolution because they don't want accountability from God. Scientific models. Now we're going to learn what those are. What is a scientific model? Scientists frequently deal with phenomena that are difficult or impossible to observe directly. You can't see them with your naked eye or even a telescope. They use an object, drawing, or mental image as a model to visualize. Example, the atom model. Nobody really believes an atom looks like the model, the little circle in the middle with the spirals and going crazy all around it. Yeah, that's not what an atom actually looks like. We just use it to help visualize the relationship between the parts. We know these parts go around the middle part, so they made a picture to help us think about it. But they're only models. We use things like the laws of nature to present the big picture of what we think happened. We talk about the laws of nature and the genealogical records and all this to make a picture of what creation may have looked like, what the flood may have looked like, but it's only models. We can't know what it actually, totally, definitely looked like. We can only see evolution and creation through these models that scientists paint for us, that the Bible paints for us. Page 3. We are blind, but God sees the big picture. We are blind, but God sees the big picture. Again, these are going to be on the next couple slides, so don't feel rushed. What is it? What do you think that is? Could it be a wall? Maybe it's a wall. But is that a rope? This is an example of, let's see, four blind men got together, and they were touching something, and each touched a different part, and they were trying to figure out what this thing was. One of them touched this big, flat, hard area, and it said, I think this is some kind of wall. Another one touched this little, flimsy, rope-feeling thing, and they said, no, that's not a wall, it's a rope. Next thing, they touched this sharp, long thing, and they said, no, I'm touching a spear. I don't know what you guys are touching. And last, one of them touched this flimsy, wiggly thing, and they said, no, I'm touching a snake. Put it all together, we see an elephant. It was an elephant they were touching. The wall was the broadside of the elephant. The rope was the tail. The trunk was the snake. And the tusks, that was the spear. As I said before, we're blind, but God sees. He can see the whole picture. He knows what gravity is because he created it. We, like the blind men, we have to share our observations with one another. We look at the science of genealogy. We look at biology. We look at all these different sciences and we try to put together the big picture to get a better picture of our Creator and how He creates and how He works. We put all the different types of evidence together to try to see even a portion of the big picture that God sees. But it's like blind people can never really understand what an elephant looks like we can, because we can see it. We'll never really understand all the beauty of God's laws and His universe because we can't see it all like He can. Compared to him, we're just blind people feeling around. Throughout the rest of this class, until the end of Truth in the Balance, we will try to fill in many of the details of the big picture that can be seen through science. But we must remember that science binoculars are nothing compared to Bible binoculars. If you pick up your science binoculars and you're looking at evidence through science and you see, you know, this doesn't go along with what I see in the Bible. The Bible always trumps science. Because there's things in the Bible. The Bible, a long time ago, it talked about the earth as a circle. Back when everybody else thought the earth was flat, God knew the earth was a sphere. So the Bible trumped science. The Bible was always right. Science may not always be. I mean, everybody believed the earth was flat at that time, but they were wrong and the Bible was right. Just like now, if we see something in the Bible that seems to contradict science, go with the Bible. Could a shadow stop? Could the earth stop spinning for a moment to make a shadow stop? Go back along the steps or down along the steps? Science couldn't understand that. They can't say it happened, but the Bible said it did. Could there be a fleece where everything around it was wet, but the fleece was dry, or vice versa? Science says that's not possible, or it would be hard to do, but the Bible says it happened. So we believe the Bible and not science when they contradict each other. Do you remember that movie Contact? It was a long time ago it came out. Well, it's not a good movie to watch. It's all about evolution and supporting evolution. And it says that evolution is right because it's the simplest explanation. Therefore, it must be the best. Well, the concept is a good one. It's the simplest explanation that fits all the facts is usually the best. Keep it simple, stupid. It was one of the first examples of that. It's a good guideline in deciding which of several alternatives is more reasonable. Well, is evolution the simplest? Maybe it is, but does it fit all the facts? Everything must be explainable by purely natural processes. That's what evolution says. But even if one phenomenon cannot be explained by natural processes, then evolution does not fit all the facts and is probably not the best explanation. Can you think of a few things where natural processes couldn't explain it, where science can't explain it? What about, have you heard of people who they believe they're going to get better and they have faith, and so they get better compared to somebody who doesn't ever think they're going to get better? It's harder for them to get better. Have you ever heard of that? The placebo effect? The little sugar pills the doctors used to give elderly people or people who have, what's it called when they think they have all these illnesses? Hypochondriacs, yeah. They give them these sugar pills and it helped them feel better. There was nothing in the pill except sugar. But the belief that you're going to feel better, that you're going to get better, helps you get better. Science can't explain that. Neither can natural processes. That can't explain that. 9 out of 10 people are right-handed. Science can't explain that one. Science can't explain how and why birds migrate. Scientists still can't figure that one out. They can't figure out why the giraffe has a long neck. They say, oh, so it could reach the leaves because there were droughts and droughts. But there are no short necks. Giraffes, so that can't be the reason why. They can't explain gravity, like we said before. They can't even figure out how cats purr. So that tells us that the Bible, again, is better than science, and that science does not have all the answers. Bring your notes back next time, or leave them here, because you're going to need them. You can even leave them up here on the table, write your names on them, and I'll give them to you next time. We'll close in prayer. Aunt Lulu, could you close